Let me love you. Let me say that I do.
Black and white. Why does the world want to be black and white?
You are not alone in this fight. Take a stand for equality and fight for your right.
Here's the deal, sissy. GW has been pressuring me to do something I don't want to do, sexually.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus.
I certainly did not need to know that.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Stockholm homophobes prey on Europride participants, political hip-hop, comfortable rock, and dreamy jazz pop in the audiophile, and a sordid small-town saga parks its trailer on the logo lot. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm Pam Marshall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 2, 2008. Violent attacks against four gay men and the homophobic vandalism of three Lutheran churches marred the celebration of Europride in Stockholm this week. The 10-day festival in the Swedish capital, held in a different city each year and capped by the traditional Pride Parade, has attracted tens of thousands of LGBT visitors from across Europe. But two gay men in their late 20s were robbed and stabbed earlier in the week. According to police officials, the couple had just shared a kiss outside a convenience store when two men yelling homophobic slurs assaulted them, took their cell phones, stabbed one in the stomach, and then stabbed the other as he tried to protect his partner. They're each reportedly in serious condition, and the assailants have thus far eluded capture. Two other men were beaten in the city as their attacker shouted anti-gay slurs and specifically denounced Europride. Neither of the victims was seriously injured. Three young men, aged 17 to 20, were arrested a short time later and charged with assault as a hate crime. Three Lutheran churches in Stockholm were also vandalized this week. Authorities said the churches had flyers pasted over the facades of the buildings denouncing Europride and containing biblical condemnations of homosexuality. Anti-queer literature from a group calling themselves Orthodox Christians was scattered around the grounds at each location. The Swedish Lutheran Church, the largest denomination in the country, is lesbi-gay welcoming and has a booth at Europride.
The man who shot and killed two people and wounded seven others at a church in the U.S. state of Tennessee this week reportedly hated liberals and gay people. 58-year-old Jim D. Adkisson allegedly targeted the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church because of its liberal reputation. He burst into Sunday services as parish children were performing for the congregation, opening fire with a 12-gauge shotgun he'd hidden in a guitar case. Knoxville Police Chief Sterling P. Owen IV told reporters that a four-page letter found in Adkisson's car indicated that the attack was motivated by his frustration over not being able to find a job, for which he blamed gays and what he called the liberal movement. The Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church is like most others in the denomination, with a long record of activism in social justice movements. The church makes its space available for weekly meetings of a local chapter of parents, families, and friends of lesbians and gays, and the predominantly LGBT Metropolitan Community Church of Knoxville held services there during the first 8 years of its existence. Adkisson has been charged with first-degree murder and is being held on $1 million bail.
Religious police in Saudi Arabia, acting on a tip received by the State Commission for the Propagation of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice, raided another so-called gay party this week. Local television reported that two young men wearing women's makeup and dancing together were among 55 people arrested in the eastern coastal province of Qatif. Drugs and alcohol were reportedly also found, and many of those arrested were apparently young Filipino and Pakistani men living in the country on work permits. More than 20 men were arrested during a similar raid, also in Qatif, in June. Homosexuality is severely punished in Saudi Arabia under Sharia or Islamic law. Convictions can even lead to public beheadings. A court in April 2006 sentenced two Saudis, one Yemeni, and a Jordanian to 2,000 lashes and 2 years in prison after a similar raid on an allegedly gay party.
Bahrain's parliament passed a measure in April ordering the Gulf state's interior ministry to stop granting residence permits to foreign homosexuals, and an MP this week demanded that the government begin implementing that law. The measure called for gay men to be rooted out of hair salons and massage parlors, and that teachers watch for homosexual tendencies in children and punish them accordingly. Up to 2,000 allegedly gay Filipino workers may have been deported in 2002 by the predominantly Muslim nation.
An Ugandan AIDS activist was abducted and tortured by police this week, according to reports by Human Rights Watch, Sexual Minorities Uganda, and the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, or IGLHRC. Usam Mukwaya and two other activists were charged with trespassing in June after staging a protest during a global HIV/AIDS conference in Kampala to demand that men who have sex with men be included in the deliberations. According to an IGLHRC press release, after he was abducted, Mukwaya was cut around the hands and tortured with a machine that applies extreme pressure to the body, preventing breathing and causing severe pain, and that he was aggressively questioned about the Ugandan LGBT movement. Mukwaya was reportedly dumped by the side of the road after the interrogation, and members of Sexual Minorities Uganda found him weak, filthy, and without shoes and some of his clothing. Human Rights Watch warned that the abduction and torture of an Ugandan HIV/AIDS activist who faces trial for holding a peaceful protest reveals the danger to those who challenge the government's policies. Police officials insist that Mukwaya was not harmed during detention and was simply seeking publicity. Consenting adult same-gender sex is outlawed in Uganda, and President Yoweri Museveni has often railed against homosexuality as a negative foreign culture.
U.S. President George W. Bush signed legislation this week that repealed a law banning HIV-positive travelers or immigrants from entering the country. The measure passed both houses of Congress by significant margins as part of a global HIV/AIDS funding bill. The ban was created by a 1987 regulation that added HIV to the list of communicable diseases that bar visitors and immigrants. But the Health and Human Services Department must implement the new regulation by issuing a notice in the Federal Register where rule changes are published. A mandatory comment period of up to 90 days follows, and only then can the rule be finalized. Writing in the New York-based Gay Community News this week, Duncan Osborne reported that a memo issued to all federal agencies on May 9th by White House Chief of Staff Joshua Bolton specified that any new regulations for the remainder of the Bush administration had to be proposed by June 1st and finalized by November 1st. Bolton wrote that the only exceptions were for extraordinary circumstances. It appears, then, that repeal of the HIV travel and immigration ban may not take effect until there's a new president in the White House.
Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick signed legislation on July 31st repealing a 1913 law that barred couples from marrying there if the union would not be valid in their home states. Following a previous Senate vote, the House overwhelmingly voted for repeal earlier in the week. California, which in June became the only other U.S. state with marriage equality, has no residency requirement. Same-gender weddings have been legal in Massachusetts since 2004, and repeal of the 1913 law, originally enacted to bar interracial marriage, now allows couples from other states to marry there. Opponents of repeal warned that the move would make Massachusetts the Las Vegas of gay marriage and would infringe on other states' rights to define marriage. But supporters said that the old law had racist origins and argued that repeal would bring an economic boom to Massachusetts. A recent study, in fact, predicted that same-gender couples marrying there, especially from nearby states, would add $111 million to the Massachusetts economy in the next 3 years. Several out-of-state lesbi-gay couples have already requested marriage license applications in Provincetown, according to Assistant Town Clerk Susie Fultz, and more are expected. New York doesn't allow its same-gender couples to marry, but, citing several court rulings, Governor David Patterson has ordered the state to recognize such marriages legally performed elsewhere.
Marriage equality in California is far from secure, of course, with a looming November ballot initiative, Proposition 8, that would overturn the state Supreme Court ruling and constitutionally ban same-gender marriage. That hasn't stopped thousands of couples from getting marriage licenses in California since the court ruling took effect in mid-June. The original wording of the ballot initiative read, "Amends the California Constitution to provide that only marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in California." But new language, ordered by State Attorney General Jerry Brown this week, will now say that the initiative changes California Constitution to eliminate right of same-sex couples to marry. It also notes that banning those marriages could prevent California from gaining tens of millions of dollars in potential sales tax revenue. Supporters of Proposition 8 say they're considering a lawsuit demanding that the language appear as it did on petitions that qualified the initiative for the ballot. Jennifer Kearns, spokeswoman for the so-called Protect Marriage Coalition, said that the new language could prejudice voters against the initiative. But Steve Smith, campaign manager for No on Proposition 8, applauded the language change. "What Proposition 8 would do is eliminate the right of same-sex couples to marry," he said, which is exactly what the Attorney General put in the title of the measure.
And finally, Florida and Arizona are also facing November ballot initiatives to constitutionally ban same-gender marriage. But Barbara McCullough-Jones of Equality Arizona is concerned that all the attention and money are going to the California battle. "We need a win in California. We need a win in Florida. We need a win in Arizona," she wrote in an article published this week. That very trifecta has the potential to change the face of American politics.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 2, 2008. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm Pam Marshall.
Just who has real family values and whose lives are sordid? We'll head down south for the answers to that question later in the program. Hip-hop that's not straight, folk rock that's also country, and a dangerous dream come true jazz up this edition of The Audiophile.
The new album by hip-hop artist Milaj Lavon is called The Movement. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. This album definitely shows that she is very talented and very political.
Dear Mr. President,
but it shouldn't really affect the fate of the nation from just one dude. Got a lot to repair, America's right here. We all waiting for you to lead us through. We gotta get back on the right track. What's the blueprint of your next move?
You'll also find in her album that hip-hop is a genre not reserved for straight topics.
The album covers a lot of issues like gay bashing, global warming, gay parenting, domestic violence within the gay community, future president, gay marriage, and very proud of this album because it's a lot of issues that need to be addressed.
So I gotta be strong, now I got my reason to stand up for people like Kev who stop grieving, cause I'm there with you every step of the way. You ain't gotta be afraid of what society say, cause I've been there before. The lowest point in my life, consider suicide a feeling that I wanted to die, but I survived and you are not alone in this fight. Take a stand for equality and fight for your rights.
To find out more about Milaj Lavon and her album, The Movement, we'll help you out with the spelling. Her site is at www.melangelavonne.com.
Black and white, how can the world be black and white? 'Cause when I look out in the night, I see a thousand shades of gray. Black and white. Why does the world want to be black and white? It makes me sad and I know it's not right for all the world to be that way.
The debut album by Maurice Campbell is called Long Way Home. And with it, at least I feel like I'm in this warm and comfortable place, like I'm with an old friend.
There's a wide variety of musical styles. I got stripped down vocal acoustic guitar tracks. I have tracks with the full band. And I go from folk to rock country. And I think people will really enjoy the listen.
Whatever I can see, got an ace of diamonds up my sleeve. And I don't need to see how it ends. I can make whatever I can see, got an ace of diamonds.
You can learn more about Maurice Campbell and his album, Long Way Home, at www.maurice.com. That's www.MORRY.com.
Let me love you. Let me say that I do. If you lend me your ear, I'll make it clear the ways that I do. Let me whisper it. Let me sigh it. Let me sing it, my dear, or I will cry it.
Suede is back, and this time with a big band, for her first album in 7 years.
Oh, I'm thrilled about it. It's called Dangerous Mood, which I named appropriately for my 25th anniversary of making my whole living with music, which has certainly been dangerous and thrilling. And it's recorded with a 14-piece big band, which is a childhood dream of mine. So I'm just thrilled to get it out to the world, and I hope everybody loves it.
We could go the distance and find us romance. I like your persistence, your style and your stance. There's only one problem, the tiniest problem. I like to lead when I dance.
Find out more about Dangerous Mood, the latest CD by Suede, at www.suedewave.com. That's www.suedewave.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at our new address, 594 Sawdust Road, number 273, Spring, Texas, 77380, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
I like to lead when I dance.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
Our Steve Fry gets in touch with his southern roots and sets a spell with the folk behind the new Logo TV hit, Sordid Lives, the series. Creator, writer, director Del Shores and his producer, star husband, Jason Dotley.
Last week on Laundry Day, a red sock found its way into a load of white stuff, and now I sleep on pink sheets. So it's no surprise to me that Sordid Lives, a TV show about a white trash family in a redneck town, just debuted on Logo, the country's pinkest network.
I did not need to know that.
Or that this summer, fans of playwright Del Shores are happier than a fat tick on a skinny dog.
I certainly did not need to know that.
This prequel to the cult classic film,
Off and Running,
is about a small-town Texas family, presided over by Peggy Ingram, played by Rue McClanahan, whose beloved brother boy, played by Leslie Jordan, is a Tammy Wynette impersonator living in a state mental hospital.
I'm Dr. Eve, when you de-homosexualize me, will I still be able to perform as Tammy Wynette?
Peggy's good-time daughter, Lavonda, lives with Peggy's sister, Sissy, a chain-smoking caretaker who doles out the family Valium.
Well, thank goodness I've got another bottle in the medicine cabinet.
Bonnie Belinda plays Peggy's uptight and controlling daughter, Latrell.
There's a new therapist over at the institution, Dr. Eve Bollinger, who thinks she can de-homosexualize Brother Boy.
I was watching Jenny Jones here a while back, and they were saying homosexuality is not a choice.
Sissy, that is not the point.
Well, it seems like it would be the point in this, for instance.
Lavonda's best friend, Nolita, played by Carolyn Ray, lives in Sissy's backyard in a trailer with her crippled husband, G.W.
Here's the deal, Sissy. G.W. has been pressuring me to do something I don't want to do, sexually.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus.
He wants to make love to me without them legs on.
Oh, why me, Lord? Why?
The adorable Jason Dartley plays Latrell's son, Ty, a struggling L.A. actor who's also struggling with his sexuality.
Okay, that's it. I'm out of here.
Fine, leave. But maybe it's time you learn compassion for others instead of being like every other actor and homosexual in this vapid town. All about me, me, me.
I thought therapy was supposed to be about me. And I am here because I am not sure that I am a homosexual.
Oh, trust me, honey. You are a big old queer.
Throw in Olivia Newton-John as Bitsy Mae Harling, a bisexual bar singer fresh out of prison, with cameos from Margaret Cho, Carson Kressley, and Candace Kane as Ty's therapists. And all I can say is, if it were any better, I'd have to hire someone to help me enjoy it.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Del Shores. I am a writer and producer and director, and my series Sordid Lives just started airing on Logo.
Hi, I'm Jason Dotley. I am the adorable new guy in Sordid Lives, the series.
How autobiographical is this?
With Sordid Lives, I am basically Ty, the character of Ty and Latrell. That's a relationship with my mom, and I basically just lifted my therapy sessions. The one great thing about my mom, and when she passed away, I found all of these files where she had done so much research on my behalf about gay. She really wanted to be informed, and I wish that other people in my family would do that, because she wanted to know what it was about, and asking way too many questions. You know, the first time I go home is like Christmas. I bring my daughters, they're 2 and 5 at the time, and my mother comes into my bedroom and she says, "I need to ask you some questions." And I go, "Oh, okay." And she goes, "What is it exactly that you do?" And I'm like, "What?" And, you know, she goes, you know, gay stuff. What do you do? And I'm like, "Oh my God, mother, I am not going to talk to you about this. There are books you can read." And then so finally she just kept on, and I thought, okay, you know what? So I just basically looked at my lap and started explaining a lot of things. I left some things out, but that was the kind of mom she was. And then there's that long pause. She goes, "Well, are you the woman or the man?" "Mother, I'm a gay man. We don't..." Anyway.
While the character he plays on the Sordid Lives TV series is confused about his sexuality, Jason Dotley is not. And he wants you to know.
I think that the reason so many straight actors are playing gay is that most gay actors won't play gay. And it's very frustrating to me as a gay man, because I see it as a form of internalized homophobia, and I don't know if it's being reinforced from their families or from their representatives or agents, but regardless, it's really sort of an annoying attribute that many of my fellow gay actors share, and I wish they'd all get over it.
When did you know you were gay?
I came out in my 10th grade year of high school to my mom and all of my friends, and I took it as the greatest difference in the world. It was such an empowering thing for me to be so different than everybody else, and I really embraced that. And I started my high school's Gay Straight Alliance in Spring Hill, Florida, which was very successful. Someone asked me the other day in an interview about being gay and being out, etc. And I said, "Why would you want to be so successful and live in a cage? Why?"
Not only is Jason Dotley the leading man in Sordid Lives, the series, he's Del Shore's leading man at home.
We were married in October of 2003, October 26th, on the beach of Malibu. And now we have just applied for our marriage license to be legally married in the state of California.
And I think that Newell Alexander, who plays Wardell, who more interestingly is Del's former father-in-law, is going to be presiding over our nuptials.
What do you want the audience to take away from the show?
I want people to be able to laugh during this not-so-great period in American history. And if for 30 minutes a week, if people can just forget that outside world and laugh and feel with these characters, then that was my intention for this, because it is very funny, but it is often touching. The Republicans, they're always talking about family values, and yet they continue to knock my family through their constitutional amendments and spewing hatred, basically, from pulpits and political forums. So I feel like that I'm giving people something to embrace. It's a quirky family, but basically the series is about love and acceptance and family and our values.
And I like it that young gay people have someone to see on television that they can relate to. I didn't have that as a kid. I had, you know, Rupert Everett and Madonna as, you know, two prominent gay men in my stratosphere.
I love the way you call Madonna a gay man.
Well, like, come on. She's kind of as close as you can get.
This has been a visit with Del Shores and Jason Dotley. Sordid Lives, the series, airs on the U.S. cable network Logo. I'm Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Why should I care what they whisper about me? I tell the truth, but still they'll doubt me. Been misunderstood for all of my life. Even when I've been good, they think it's a lie. That's why it's none of my business what you think of me. I ain't never been perfect and I ain't gonna be. I know who I am and it ain't what you see.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Chris Wilson, Pam Marshall, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Melange Lavant, Maury Campbell, Suede, and Olivia Newton-John performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out operating expenses are funded by charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to help keep us on the air. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of all our programs there. To receive weekly email alerts describing the content of each This Way Out, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on 7THE Hobart, Tasmania, WRNC Ashland, Wisconsin, KSKQ Ashland, Oregon, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.